It is the start of a brand new year, and we began a study just recently called A Fresh Start in 2011. A Fresh Start in 2011. And I just kind of want to briefly recap what we talked about last week, and it was this. A Fresh Start in 2011. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? And you might be wondering that exact question today. God, what are you wanting me to do with my life this year, starting in 2011? God, what steps, what baby steps are you wanting me to take with my life this year towards the bigger step, the bigger end, the greater destiny that you have for me? So what do you do when you don't know what to do? When you don't know what to do, the thing to do is to cry out to God and question God. Say, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do with my life? And that question to God, friends, is a prayer. And God hears our prayers. And God listens. And so when you cry out that question to God, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? What steps are you wanting me to take this year? God will respond. And last week we talked about some of the ways that God responds to that question. Some of the ways He responds. He responds with the still small voice of peace. If you're asking God about getting involved with a certain ministry, going to a certain school, going to a certain church, going down a certain educational path, and God, should I go to this place? Should I go to this school, that school? What should I do? And if God is saying yes to you, you'll have a peace on the inside that surpasses any human understanding. Now, if God is saying no, you won't have that peace on the inside. But if God is saying yes, you'll hear that still small voice of peace telling you that, yes, this is the path I want you to walk in. So God speaks with a still small voice of peace. God also speaks a lot of times through His written word. This written word, the Bible, has answers to everyday life's questions. Whatever your question might be, turn to the word and God has got an answer for you. A lot of times God can also speak through somebody else for your life. Maybe a person that you respect, a respected minister, a preacher, an evangelist. It might be through a book. God has various ways in which He can speak to you. And remember this, you're not on this earth by accident. If somebody told you in the past that you're an accident going somewhere to happen, that person was being inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not on this earth by chance. You are on this earth with a God-given destiny, with a God-given purpose and plan. Don't let anyone or anything ever tell you any differently. Amen? Amen? So what is it, God, that you're wanting me to do with my life? And so God may speak to you. God may speak to you. He may tell you to take this course, you know, such and such a course to overcome an addiction. He may tell you to reconcile with a certain person. You know, He may tell you to reach out beyond yourself and reach out to somebody who is in greater need than you. He may tell you to go to a certain school or maybe work towards a certain technical trade. You know, God is speaking. He's always speaking. The question is, are we listening? So you may ask God the question, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do with my life? And you ask Him and God speaks. Well, listening and hearing the voice of God, hearing the still small voice, hearing through the written word, hearing through somebody else, is only half the puzzle. What is the other half of the puzzle? You can hear the voice of God for your life. You can hear what God is telling you to do. You can hear what God is saying, take this step and that step and the other step. But the other half of the puzzle beyond hearing is what? Doing. Exactly. So today's message is do it. It's basically a message on obedience, obeying, actually doing what God is telling you to do. You got to hear the voice of God, right? That's half the puzzle. That's winning the battle. But to win the war, you've got to actually do what God is telling you to do. You've got to take those steps toward that direction of what God is telling you to do. It does no good just to hear the voice of God and not act upon it. You've got to hear the voice of God and you've got to act upon what God is telling you to do, and that's called obedience. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about disobedience versus obedience. Disobedience versus obedience. And one of the people I like to study a lot, one of the prophets I enjoy studying concerning this, is Jonah. How many here know about Jonah the prophet in the Old Testament? It's only 4 chapters long. So if you have a Bible, you might want to turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Jonah the prophet. He was wanting to hear God's voice, and he did hear God's voice. He was a prophet. And let's see what God tells Jonah in Jonah 1, verse 1. That's what he says to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God spoke to Jonah, right? God gave him a mandate. He said, Jonah, I am wanting you to go to Nineveh and speak and preach repentance to that nation. Look at verse 3 of Jonah 1. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He headed the opposite direction. So God said, go to Nineveh, right? God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do instead? He went the opposite direction towards Tarshish. So what did Jonah do with God's word? The word that he heard, the voice of God that he heard, what did he do with it? He did not obey. He did not act upon it. He rebelled. He did his own thing. He did what he might have been thinking was a good thing, but it was not a God thing. The God thing for Jonah's life was to go to Nineveh. Jonah disobeyed. And friends, the word for us today is this, that doing your own thing, a good thing, without consulting God is like rebelling. You know, you can do what you think is good in your life without even consulting and praying to God. And if you don't consult God, if you don't pray to God, and you just step out and start doing something with your life, that's in a sense rebelling against God. Or you might actually hear the voice of God clearly, like Jonah did, and not obey. You might do your own thing, and that's rebellion. And guess what? There are consequences, repercussions for disobedience. And Jonah had some negative consequences as a result of his disobedience to God's voice, right? What were some of the consequences in the life of Jonah? If you read on in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah boarded a ship towards Tarshish, and a great storm arose on the seas. And if you read towards the end of Jonah chapter 1, it says that God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And he was in the fish 3 days and three nights. So God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah disobeyed, went to Tarshish. As a result of his disobedience, what were the consequences? Two consequences. There was a storm on the seas, right? And a fish to swallow Jonah. Fish to swallow Jonah. And he was in the fish 3 days and three nights. Could you imagine what it must have felt like in the belly of the whale? He was probably perspiring, sweating. It was probably smelly in there, right? Seaweed wrapped around his head. Suffering in the belly of the whale. Suffering for what reason? Because he did not want to obey God. He did his own thing. And friends, maybe you are in the belly of some type of whale today. Your belly of the whale experience might be financial hardship, broken relationships. Maybe you're in a cave, in a belly of depression right now. Whatever it might be, you might be sick in your body. Could it be that you're in the belly of some type of whale because God spoke to you? Could it be He spoke to you about doing something in 2010 and maybe you never did it? Maybe you heard the voice of God about reconciling that relationship. Write that person that note. Make a phone call. Send them an email. Maybe God told you, spoke to you about changing up your diet, and you never did it. Maybe God spoke to you about stepping out of yourself to get out of that depression, and maybe you never did it. Could it be that you're in the place you're in today because God spoke to you something in the past, and you did not act upon it? I'm not trying to condemn you, but the question is, could it be that God did speak to you, and you did not act? Well, you guess what? There's good news. God is the God of another chance. You may have disobeyed God in the past, but He is truly the God of another chance. He's not a God of three strikes and you're out. That's baseball, right? Three strikes and you're out. He is the God of another chance. And I want to talk about an instance in my life where I believe I stepped out and did just a good thing without really consulting God. And this was back in 2006. You might have heard about this. I had been going to the nation of India for many years, doing evangelism, training pastors, and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in 2006, I had this bright idea. I may as well go to Hong Kong or China and share the gospel of Jesus Christ there. So I got in touch with this organization that somebody else had told me about, applied, I got accepted, didn't really even consult the voice of God on it. I just thought it was a good thing to do, to bring the gospel to another nation. So I applied to this organization, I got accepted, I had a team of students under me and went through the whole process and eventually ended up in Hong Kong. And friends, let me tell you, it was one of the most excruciating, challenging experiences in my life. My team turned against me. Everything was going wrong. I had a storm of negative thoughts going through my mind. I couldn't sleep at night. And, you know, lo and behold, now that I look at it afterwards, I realize that I had stepped out and I'd gone to Hong Kong without even consulting the voice of God. And in a sense, I was acting rebelliously towards God, because I was doing what I thought was a good thing without even first asking God about it. And it might be the same with you today. You might be doing what you think is a good thing, but you've never consulted God. And if you're doing what you think is a good thing without ever having consulted God, you might be walking rebelliously. And if you're walking rebelliously without even knowing it, guess what? There's going to be some negative consequences. See, there's a difference between a good thing and a God thing. You see, good is the enemy of best, and the God thing is the best thing for your life. I want to do God's best for my life. How about you? We've got to consult God and obey what He's telling us to do. Amen? Is that making sense? I want to do the God thing for my life. Say it with me. I want to do the God thing with my life, not just the good thing. In Jesus' name. Amen. In order to do the God thing, you've got to obey what God is telling you to do. And you may have messed up in the past, like I said. Maybe you did disobey God, but He is the God of another chance. Now, in Jonah's life, in Jonah chapter 3, God gave Jonah a second chance. Look at Jonah 3 verse 1. Jonah 3 verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So we would agree that Jonah heard the voice of God again. Would you agree? But this time there was a difference in Jonah's life. Verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. He obeyed this time and went to Nineveh. Okay, let me ask you this. What does it take to obey God? There's got to be an attitude of the heart that we need to have in order to obey God. What is God looking for in us? What does it take to obey God? What kind of a heart attitude does it take to obey God? It takes a willing heart. Okay, anybody else?
Obedient.
Okay, it takes a humble heart in order to obey God. Because when Jonah disobeyed God the first time in Jonah chapter 1, he was pretty much walking in pride, right? I want to do my own thing, God. This is my life. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. He was walking in pride, right? But we see in Jonah chapter 3 that he had humbled himself and said, you know what, God? I was in the belly of the whale. I am now humbled. You can read it in Jonah chapter 2 where Jonah cries out to God. He humbles himself. He had humbled himself, and because of his humility, he decided to obey God. And he preached the gospel. He preached the good news. He preached repentance to the nation of Nineveh. It takes a humble heart to obey God, putting self aside. You see, it's people who are proud. If you're proud, you're saying, you know, my will come and God, away with your will. But a humble heart says what? It says, God, your will be done in my life and away with my will. God, I want to do with my life what you're wanting me to do, not what I want to do. That's a humble heart. That's an obedient heart. And that's what God is looking for. What does the word of God say in James? That God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Let me say it again. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He gave His grace to Jonah in Jonah chapter 3, because in Jonah chapter 3, Jonah had humbled himself and decided this time that he would obey God. Is that making sense?
Amen.
And because he obeyed God now, there were positive results out of his obedience. Because he decided to obey God, positive things happened. And what was one of the main positive repercussions of his obedience in Jonah chapter 3? What was a major positive as a result of his obedience? The entire city of Nineveh repented. They turned back to God. They changed their minds from going their wicked ways to now going God's holy way. The whole nation was saved as a result of Jonah's obedience. And friends, when you obey, good things will happen in your life. But not only in your life, in the life of others as well. So disobedience brings bad things, right? It brings curses. Obedience brings what? Good things. The blessing. Say it with me. Disobedience brings bad things. But obedience brings good things. God's blessings. In Jesus' name. And friends, just humble yourself before God. If God is speaking to you about doing something, reconciling that relationship, stepping out beyond yourself and serving somebody else, going on a different diet plan, if God is speaking to you, just humble yourself and say, God, I surrender. Your will be done in my life. My life is yours, God. It is now no longer mine. It is yours from this point forward. I will do exactly what you're telling me to do. That's a humble and obedient heart. Is that making sense today? All right. I want to turn to one last account. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a powerful account of obedience. 2 Kings 5. Naaman healed of leprosy. Okay. Verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy, a skin disease. Now bands from Aram had got out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent them this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the men come to me and I will know, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." So the word of God through Elisha came to Naaman, and what was that word? Basically, Naaman heard the voice of God through Elisha. Because like I said, sometimes God will speak through other people, right? So what was the word of God to Naaman through Elisha? It's in verse 10. It's an open book test. 2 Kings 5:10. "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." So that was the word, right? So we agree that Naaman heard the voice of God through Elisha. Is that making sense? Yeah. Now, how does Naaman react? Verse 11. "But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?' So he turned and went off in a rage." Now Naaman was upset, right? That the prophet had told him, "Dip 7 times in the Jordan." At this point, he's upset, he's rebellious, he's not wanting to do it. He's kind of in a state of disobedience at this point, right? Not wanting to do what God had spoken through the prophets. Here's the key. Naaman's servants, verse 13, went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" And the big key is in verse 14. Naaman decided to humble himself and obey the word of God through the prophets. 2 Kings 5:14. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. For a moment there, Naaman was upset, right? He was kind of rebellious. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to dip in the Jordan, right? But then he had a heart change. He humbled himself. He decided to obey the word of the Lord and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. As a result of his obedience, what occurred in his life? He was what? He was healed of leprosy. It was an incurable disease that only God could cure, could heal. And because he decided to humble himself and obey the voice of God through Elisha, he dipped in the Jordan and his body was restored. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. That's a positive result as a result of his obedience to God, right? It's a positive repercussion. And friends, if God did it for Naaman, he can do it for you today, thousands of years later. What is God looking for? He is looking for a humble, contrite, and obedient heart. What miracle are you needing in your life today? Is it physical healing? Is it joy in place of depression? Is it to reconcile a relationship? Is it to overcome an addiction? Is it for financial breakthrough? Maybe a job or a better job? To leave the shelter? Maybe to buy a car? What miracle are you looking for in your life? God has got a miracle in store for you, friends. Your miracle is around the corner. God has got it in store for you like he had it in store for Naaman. But what is God looking for in your life? Obedience. Obedience. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. The question is, are you listening? Not only are you listening, but are you acting upon what God is telling you to do? Remember, listening, hearing the voice of God is winning the battle. Winning the war is doing what? It's obeying exactly what God is telling you to do like Naaman did. God has got awesome things in store for your life, friends. But you've got to hear what God is saying with a still small voice. You've got to hear what he's saying through his written word. You've got to hear what he's saying through another person, like he said through Elisha. And when God speaks to you, take it, humble yourself, and do it. Just do it. Like Nike, right? Isn't that their big motto? Just do it. Is that right? Let's say it with me today. Just do it in Jesus' name. Don't let fear hold you back. You know, some of you might be fearful. Don't let fear of the unknown paralyze you. Just take a leap of faith, knowing that God has got the entire situation under his control. You are in the palm of God's hands. He's got your back. He's got something good in store for your life. A miracle, a breakthrough. It's around the corner. Just obey. Just do it. Do what he's telling you to do. Amen?
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Like he had something good in store for the nation of Nineveh as a result of Jonah's obedience, like he had healing in store for Naaman as a result of his obedience, God has got something good in store for you as a result of your coming obedience to his word. Is that good news? In Jesus' name.
Amen.